You see, God's promise. You could open your Bibles to again today to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and also to the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 4. Now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 we shall begin to read with the sixth verse. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, for ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, in reading that from King James translation, that's a little bit blind to us. Like I said, you're God's husbandry. How many of us know what a husbandry is? Well, ordinarily we don't, you see. Let's read Moffat's translation. It'll make it more clear to you. I did the planting. Apollos did the watering. But it was God who made the seed to grow. Hallelujah. Then the last verse, ye are God's field. Instead of saying you're God's husbandry, you're God's field to be planted. Another translation said that you're God's garden. You know, that's where you plant seed, is in the field or in the garden. I've planted. Another translation said you're God's farm. Well, you can readily see all of them are right. Now, actually, this lesson is taken from one of the chapters in Christ the Healer. If you have the book Christ the Healer, you'll have the outline there of this. It's very good, and it'll bless you. Praise God. God's Garden is the title of the chapter, or How to Get God's Promises Fulfilled. Now, turning back to the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, let's start reading with the first verse, because we have the parable of the sower. Paul said, I planted, in other words, I sowed the seed. And he, that is Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. In other words, ask him, what's the meaning of it? He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Now here's the meaning of the parable, you see. The sower soweth the word. Now Luke records the same story in the 8th chapter of Luke. And he said in Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. Well, he just said it's the word here. And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, some are like that. They don't have to be that way, understand. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Now he went on speaking here, and then he said again in that 23rd verse, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. See, it's up to you what kind of ground you are. Not up to God, not up to the sower, not even up to the seed or the word. It's up to you. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's go on reading. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, unto you that hear, more shall be given. Unto you that hear, more shall be given. You're going to bring forth fruit if you'll hear. Well, that sort of reminds you again of scripture that we looked at a number of times here in Luke's gospel about hear and be healed. Like, for instance, the 5th chapter of Luke, the 15th verse. But so much the more went there fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. To hear and to be healed. Now notice that the statement that we just read that Jesus made back over here was in that 24th verse, unto you that hear shall more be given. Unto you that hear shall more be given. Now they came together to hear, let's put it this way, and to receive more. That is, receive the healing in this case. The 6th chapter, also of Luke, the 17th verse. And he came down, Jesus came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Came to hear him and to be healed. To them that hear shall more be given. Now then, we've been talking about your God's garden, or how to appropriate the promise of God, or how to fulfill the promises of God in your own life. See, you're the one that does it, not God, not the sower, not the seed. You're the ground, you're the soil, you're the garden, you're the field, you're the farm. It's up to you what kind of ground you're going to be. You don't have to let things crowd the word out. Deceitfulness, riches, cares of the life. You don't have to be stony ground. You notice it said it had no root. That's another way of just saying that ground didn't have any moisture in it. See, that seed was planted, but never was watered. There's no moisture there. Seed has to have moisture. It has to have water to grow, doesn't it? You don't have to be the one by the wayside that the fowls of the air came and got the seed. Satan came and stole it out of their heart. You don't have to let Satan steal the word out of your heart. You can be good ground. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? It's up to you. I think sometimes we want to lay it on somebody else, but that's not the case. It's up to you. Now, we've talked about the planting of the seed. I did the planting. The seed, of course, is the Word of God. We've talked about the watering of the seed. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. We've talked about how David watered the seed of God's Word. Now, we talked about the fact that the seed, which is the Word of God, is incorruptible, is imperishable, So since the work of the imperishable seed is supernatural, and it is God alone who makes the seed grow, and we talked about that, God, you see, King James translation said, God giveth the increase. Moffat's translation said, it's God that made the seed to grow. Well, now let's talk about the seed a little bit more here now. Because we've been talking about being good ground, we've been talking about watering the seed and so on. Let's come back here and talk about the seed a little bit. You see, the work of this imperishable seed, this incorruptible seed, is supernatural, and it is God alone who makes the seed grow. And of course, that seed don't grow unless it's planted and watered. We understand that. We've got our part to play. Then the seed often, let's put it this way, often produces their wonderful results the same day that they're planted. There's a difference in this seed and natural seed. You don't plant, cotton seed today and pick cotton tomorrow. But there's one thing about this imperishable seed is that it's supernatural. See, natural seed, takes time. The only reason it takes time, some time with us, is because the time part's on our part, not on the part of the seed. If you'd listen to it and water it and act on it, it'll bring forth fruit immediately. And if it doesn't bring forth fruit immediately, see, because it's supernatural seed. If it doesn't bring forth the fruit immediately, then it's because we either didn't plant it, or we didn't water it, or it's not on good ground. Something happened here. It isn't the seed's fault. Promises. Remember we looked at that verse in 2 Peter 1:4 that said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Well, that is the word of God, isn't it? That is the seed. The seed is the word. These promises, God's promises, are for today. His time, God's time, is always today. Today, you remember Hebrews 4:7 said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today. Especially in the area of healing. Amen. May not be in it tomorrow. The promises of God belong to us today. The promises of God, the Word of God, the seed which is the Word of God, will produce results today. Because God's Word is just like God is, imperishable, supernatural, eternal. Hallelujah. God's always today. He's always present. You never did read where God ever revealed himself as a great God that was. He didn't tell Moses. Moses said, what am I going to tell Pharaoh when I tell him, let my people go? Well, he didn't tell him. Go tell him that I was sent you. Now, see, that's the kind of God, when it comes to healing, that a lot of people have, and that's the reason they don't get any results and not sowing the right seed or watering the right seed. Well, yeah, God did heal all right. He was a healer. Yeah, he healed Israel. Oh, yeah, Jesus healed when he was here on the earth. And the apostles did, but when the last apostle died, all that ceased. So when it comes to healing, he's the great God that was. Yet that doesn't jibe with the Scriptures, does it? The Scripture said, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. I mean, he's the same all the time, doesn't it? Yesterday, today, forever. He won't be any different tomorrow than he was today. He's not any different today than he was yesterday. Same things with God. He never changes. We read that. Never changes. James 1:17, Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. He doesn't vary the least bit. Neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. So you can readily see then in some quarters why they're not getting any results. Because it's not the right seed is not being planted. And of course that wrong seed will bring forth fruit too. Amen. Isn't that right? You can plant a garden. One text said, you're God's garden. You could plant a garden. And you can put the right seed in there or plant the right plants, tomato plants, you know, or onion plants or whatever, or seed. And with the right watering and care, it'll grow, produce fruit. Right on the other hand, they can other kind of seeds get in there. I notice in my garden, little garden, just a little spot, you know, sometimes, you know, here these weeds come up. How'd they get there? And I don't want them there. I didn't put them there, but they got there. And they grew. They grow, don't they? They grow. Well, you can readily see that if in your life the wrong seed's been planted, it'll grow. It'll produce fruit too. But that's not fruit you want. Amen. And so you can readily see then when that is planted in the minds and in the hearts and the lives of people that God's not the same today when it comes to healing, then he's not I am, he as I was. And so then, of course, a lot of Christians, they just skip over the present and look to the future. Well, when we all get to heaven, thank God there'll be no more sickness. Well, thank God there won't be. That's right. That's right. But there is provision for us now. Because God is today, you know. I mean, God won't be any different tomorrow than he is today. Now, we might be different, but not God. He's not any different. And he won't ever change. And he always revealed himself as the great I am. The great I am. And he's still the great I am. Did you ever stop to think about it? You know, and this has sort of boggled your mind on whether you can get it or not. I mean, I think you can. I mean, it's simple, and yet it's sometimes things are so simple or profound. You know? Did you ever stop to think about it that tomorrow with God is today? Did you ever stop to think about the next week? See, if your healing was manifested next week, God healed you today. If your healing is manifested next year, God healed you today. If your healing is manifested, you see, 2 years from now, 2 years from this date as far as we're concerned, all your symptoms departed and left you, God healed you today. Did you ever stop to think about there is no tomorrow with God? There is no yesterday with God. It's always today. Did you ever think about that? Because he's the same. Never changes. See, no such thing as time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. And so, today, the promises of God belong to us today. Because God belongs to us today. We are not sure of them any other time, but we're sure of them today. They're ours today. Today. The only way to be sure of God's promises, God's blessings, is to accept His time, not our time. Now look at 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, God said, behold now. Now is the accepted time. Notice these expressions, today, now. Since now is the time that God accepts, we should accept it as our time. He commands us to hear His voice today. He says, harden not your hearts by waiting. Some folks said, well, I believe God's going to heal me sometime. Now, see, that's not sometime, it's not God's time. No, it's not in the hands of God. You've got it out of the hands of God and put it into the hands of man. Well, I believe I'm going to get that, something, whatever they're praying for, sometime. No, that's not God's time. Sometime is not God's time. Sometime is man's time. Unless man's able to make it good on his own, then sometime will never become now time. God's a God of now. Amen. Now God. Hallelujah. He's now. Now here is something very difficult for people to get with their natural mind, and that's where the problem is. They're trying to understand spiritual truths with a natural mind. But there's a little thought right here. We were right there in that third chapter of 1 Corinthians. While we're there, right close by, let's look at something else. I trust that you're able to see it. I know it'll bless you if you can see it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, I want you to notice in that second chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said something. The 14th verse, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And see, that's what you know things with is with your natural mind, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, another translation reads like this, and I think you understand. The natural mind, instead of saying man, it says the natural mind. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him, neither can he know them. See, that's what you know with, is with your mind. For they are spiritually understood. See, you don't understand the Bible with the natural mind. Now, if your mind's been renewed with the Word of God, you'll understand it. But in most cases, the mind hadn't been renewed with the Word of God. The natural mind receiveth not. Or another way, understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. The Word of God's of the Spirit of God. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. The reason he doesn't know them or understand them is because they're spiritually discerned. You understand the Bible with your heart, with your spirit. You see, your heart's your spirit. And so, you see, the natural mind, if it can't see something, it won't believe it has it. Right on the other hand, you believe in God, you don't see him, do you? You see, faith is of the heart. The Bible said, with the heart men believeth. And so, faith is now. Remember, that's what Jesus said in that great classic text on faith, Mark 11:24. Therefore, saying to you, what things ever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive, and ye shall have. Now let's get God's time. I said God's time's always now. You don't see the word now in the verse, but it's in there. When? When you pray. That's right now, isn't it? Isn't it? When you pray, now. Can you see that? Now. Believe. Another word for this word, believe, that you receive. Another word for believe is take. Take it now. Take it now. Hallelujah. Literally, take. Believe that you take whatever it was your desire. In this case, healing. See, it's all over in the faith realm. I don't look at it better. I don't feel any better. You know, I can't. See, then we get over into this realm, the difference between natural human faith and Bible faith. Natural human faith is just based upon what your physical senses tell you. You can't walk by natural human faith and be a successful Christian, because natural human faith is based on physical senses. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 said, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not walking by what we see. 2 Corinthians 4:18 said, while we look, not at things which are seen, but to things which are unseen. How in the world can you look at things that are unseen with the eye of faith? Only way in the world you can look at it. Isn't that right? So you see, it's with the hand of faith here that you take the answer to your prayer. It's with the hand of faith that you take. You believe now. Somebody said, believe in prayer always ends in the glad confession, it's mine, I have it now. Now. God's time's now. I've never seen anybody get healed believing God's going to heal me sometime. I've seen plenty of them die, believe that. Never seen one of them get healed yet, believe God's going to heal me sometime. Unless you're able to get them to come to the place that they believed, I'll receive my healing now. Are you hearing? You see, faith, notice, When is now. When you pray, believe, you receive now. Faith says, before the answer is manifested, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You see, the results are not to be manifested until after we believe our prayer is heard and continue to believe. Now see, if your mind hadn't been renewed to the Word of God, the natural mind will just go like that, trying to get a hold of that and can't get it to save its life. Just can't get it. Say to God, thou art now working in response to my faith. I count on thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Now look at that verse again. It works not only in connection with healing, but what things ever you desire. Well, in other words, we'll just put it this way. If you desire healing, when you pray, believe that you'll receive healing, and you'll have healing. Now, when are you going to have healing? After that you believe you receive healing. Yeah. You know, you tell dear ones that. Precious people. Don't misunderstand me at all. I'm not making fun of them. They're wonderful people. Saved, spirit-filled. Yeah, but I'm not healed yet. You know, you realize then they missed everything you're saying. Bless their hearts. Yeah, but I'm not healed yet. Now, I'm not going to believe I'm healed till I get healed. I'm going to ask a question. I asked them, what if you weren't going to believe you were saved till you got saved? Would you ever be saved? No. 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 Go to Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When are you going to be saved? After you believe God raised him from the dead. Can you be saved without believing God raised Jesus from the dead? No, no, no. All religions that do not teach that Jesus raised from the dead never saved anybody. Now Romans 10, 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confessions made unto salvation. Well, we've always known, I guess, in a measure that's true about salvation, but we stop right there. We fail to realize that anything you get from God comes the same way. By believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. You have no right to believe for anything the Bible doesn't promise. I can't go out and say, well, I'm going to confess I'm going to get 10 billion oil wells. Well, the Bible didn't promise me 10 billion oil wells. Or 10 million oil wells. Or even 10 oil wells. If I go to say I'm going to believe that and confess that, what am I basing my faith on? Not what God said, did I? See why it fails a lot of times? But I'll tell you the truth about the matter. Blessed be God, anything God promised me in his word. When I pray, I can believe I'll receive it. Healing's one of them. I said healing's one of them. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Healing's one of them. Healing's one of them. And of course I have the right to believe my physical and financial needs are met. But I don't need 10 million oil wells to meet my financial needs. So I can't necessarily claim 10 million oil wells, but I can claim my needs met. Because the Bible said, I have his word for it, but my God shall supply half of your need.
All.
How much?
All.
How much?
All.
All? Well, of course, that just means barely enough to get along with, you know. You know, just bread and water. Because you could just get by on that if you had to. No, that's not what that means. Because it said according to his riches. And I believe he's richer than bread and water. Glory! Hallelujah! Amen! Don't you? I don't believe he's a barely to get along God. Now see, God's different things to different people. I think to some people, God is a little scrawny fella. Not very big. Can't do too much. The devil's Great big guy. You better watch out because he'll get you too. Because he's after you. And so those kind of folks, even though they're saying filth, the Holy Ghost, they're running scared all the time. But to some of us, God's the big fella and the devil's a little bitty fella.
Amen.
Amen. So we're not afraid of him.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're not the least bit in the world afraid of him, because first thing is, we know Jesus already whipped him.
Amen.
And we know that the Bible said, greater is he. See that one, the greater one, that's he that's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? And ye have overcome them. 1 John 4:4, them's the evil spirits and demons he's talking about in the first three verses of 1 John 4. You've overcome them. The reason you've overcome them is because greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. You see, the one that whipped them, the one that defeated them is in you. See, I've heard for years, and it crops up every now and then, and it's cropping up again now, you know. Well, the devil's going to take everything over. He's going to take everything over. We ought to all run away and hide. Get in a cave somewhere. Well, the devil's not going to take everything over, friend. He can't take everything. Isn't that stupid? Is the devil going to take the church over?
No.
Not as long as the church is here. He's not going to take everything over. Because in the first place, and this is not bragging on me, you understand, some people think that. I've had them get mad at it, would come back here, that fella did the bragging on himself. I'm not going to go hear him brag. Well, no, I'm bragging on the greater one, not me. No, see, for the devil to take everything over, he'd have to take me over too. Wouldn't he? Or else it wouldn't be everything. And he can't take me over. Not because me's me, but because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise his holy name. Well, let's get back to our main thought here. When you pray, when? Now. That's now, isn't it? God said, now is the accepted time. God said, today is the day of salvation. And in that word salvation, even Scofield himself said in a footnote of Romans 1:16, where it said, "The power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Mr. Scofield in his footnote acknowledged the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation or translated salvation implies, among other things, the idea of healing, health, soundness, wholeness. Today's the day of healing, he said then. Today's the day of wholeness. Today's the day of deliverance. Today's the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Yeah, I've had them to tell me, good people, oh, you weep about it. Wonderful people. Marvelous Christians. Yeah, see, I tell them all this thing, trying to get them to believe now, trying to get them to accept now, trying to get them to take now. See, I'm sowing the seed because that's the word. Remember, the seed's the word of God. This is the word of God, isn't it? See, I'm sowing that seed in their hearts. Trying to, that is, but they let the devil steal it away. Never even registers on them. And they said, yeah, but now let me tell you what I believe. I said, that's your trouble, right there. Without you ever telling me what you believe, that's where you're missing it. You're going by what you believe about instead of what God said about it. And so, I've had them just to tune up and start. Yeah, but Brother Hagin, I just believe in God's own good time. See, they don't know what God's time is. They think it's out yonder somewhere in the future. In God's own good time and will, when he gets ready, he's going to heal me. I've said it to many, many through the years. Well, he's not. I've seen those same people 5 years later. They still believe in the same thing. When God gets ready, in his own good time, he's going to heal me. I saw some of the same people 10 years later. They're still not healed. They're still saying the same thing, still confessing the same thing, still believing the same thing. I know. I talked to them personally. Well, yeah, I just believe, though, Brother Hagin. I didn't argue and fuss with them. I left that off a long time ago. But I just love them anyhow. I just love them anyhow because God loves them. And so I just hug them. And I just believe God, though. I just believe that God, when He gets ready, in His own time, is going to heal me. But that's not believing the Bible. That's not sowing the seeds of the Word. And that's not watering the seed of the Word. That's sowing the wrong seed, watering the wrong seed, producing the wrong harvest. Isn't it? No, you see, God's time's now. That's what I want to impress you with. That's what I want to impress you with. God's time is now. When you pray, let's paraphrase that again. You know, Mark 11:24, therefore say you what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. You know, King James said, believe you receive them and ye shall have them. Talking about them desires. All right, your desire is healing. So therefore, if you desire healing, when you pray, believe that you receive healing and ye shall have healing. All right. You see, when you do that then, by faith you have taken what God has offered to you. Say to God then, whether the manifestation may not have come yet, but you say to God, Thou art working in response to my faith. I count on Thy faithfulness. In other words, being faithful to Your Word. I count on Your faithfulness. You see, the matter then passes out of our hands into God's hands the moment that we make a definite committal to Him. That's the reason there's not any manifestation. A lot of times some people have never made the committal. They're still trying to get something. Remember what Paul said? Paul said, He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Now this is the way to receive everything that God has promised us. Whether those promises of God or gifts of God or for spirit or for body, whatever they're promised, they're ours. But now then there's another way to look at that. If you're not careful, you'll miss it again here. You see, if the promised gifts were dependent entirely upon the promiser, that's the one that promised them, then we'd have to wait for the promiser to fulfill his promises. And then secondly, the responsibility of whether those promises were ever fulfilled would be entirely upon his shoulders, wouldn't it? And I think that's the way some people think it is. But now let's go back to the original illustration of the parable of the sower. Where did the responsibility lie of whether or not the seed brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold? The responsibility was upon the hearer, because he concluded by saying, take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear, and to them that hear, more shall be given. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? But you see, friends, all of God's blessings, now listen real carefully and write this down and think on it. All of God's blessings are offered gifts as well as promised gifts. I said all of God's blessings are offered gifts, like salvation is not only promised to the whole world, but it's offered to the whole world. Healing's the same way. It's not only a promised gift, it's an offered gift. All of God's blessings are offered gifts as well as promised gifts. and therefore need to be accepted. Amen. Offered gifts must be accepted. And the responsibility for their transfer is ours. So that clears God for any responsibility for failure. Now, can you see that according to Mark 11:24, God promises to hear and answer prayer? We talk about those wonderful promises, don't we? But now, can't you see also that there's more than just a promise here, that He offers to tell us exactly how it's accomplished? Paraphrasing it in the language of healing, because that's it says, what things have you desire? We're just talking about one desire. If you desire healing when you pray, believe that you'll receive healing, and ye shall have healing. I take my healing now. Hallelujah. I receive from thy kind, loving, giving hand that which you so freely not have just promised, but offered to me. By faith is mine now. Well, do you feel any better? Well, no, I've been there many times. They asked me that. I said, no, not that I can tell. Well, we can see you don't look any different. What makes you think you're healed? I answered, no, I don't think I am. I know I am. They asked me, full gospel people even, well, what makes you say that? I said, the Bible. They look at you then sort of wild-eyed, you know. I said, see, Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive, you say, I believe that I receive. Yeah, but you don't have it. I can see you don't have it. See, if it's a physical something, you know, if your hands are hanging like that, then it's still hanging that way. I can see you don't have it. You feeling it different? Now, see, they've confused natural human faith with Bible faith or heart faith or spirit faith. They've confused the two of them, you see. They're trying to get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. It can't be done. I said it can't be done. It just can't be done. And so you love them and bless them and want to help them all you can, but you can't afford to get down there on that level. You'll lose all your blessing. I just took what God offered me. It's mine. Hallelujah. Amen. It's mine now. It's mine now. Like I said, believing prayer, somebody said, ends in the glad confession. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I have it now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I take what He offers. I take what He offers. Bless the Lord. You know, we talked about also in this lesson, I'm summing up and tying up some loose ends and saying a few things we didn't say. Today we're sort of summing it up. You know, we talked about watering the Word, you remember? Remember, looked at the 119th Psalm. It would pay you to get over there and read that whole 176 verses of the 119th Psalm. In every single one of those verses, every one of them, it's amazing, but every one of them in some form or way or measure, David mentions the Word of God. He calls them statutes, commandments, sometimes thy Word. I rejoice at thy Word as one that finds a great spoil. I delight myself in thy Word. I have respect unto thy Word, he said. Thy Word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Find out everything he said about the Word and start saying the same thing about the Word, and the Word will become more real to you. That's the way that David watered the Word in his own heart, in his own spirit, in his own life. Are you listening to me? Just follow the same example. Now, what were the effects of David's attitude toward the Word of God? Or what was the effects of his watering the seed, which is the Word? Here was the shepherd boy. That's how he had his beginning, just as an humble shepherd boy, you remember. But by watering the Word within him, now you listen real carefully, watering the Word within him, he became wiser than all his teachers, the Bible said. Hallelujah. His attitude towards God's Word made him a man after God's own heart, the Scripture said. It made him the world's greatest psalmist. And it's the Word that did it all. It's his attitude toward the Word that produced it. It's his watering the Word in his own spirit and heart that did it. His psalms have blessed millions during the centuries that have followed. The psalms became God's imperishable seed, which have for centuries germinated in the hearts, human hearts, all over the world. Praise God. His words have been the texts for thousands of sermons. God said to him, I have established thy throne forever before thee. Now, David talks about it in his Psalms. David found that meditation, remember, he made this kind of statement, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David found that meditation chews our spiritual food. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is spiritual food. Jesus, you remember in Matthew 4:4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, bread stands for food. He's using a natural human term to explain a spiritual truth. He's saying what bread is, our food is, to our physical bodies, the Word of God is to our spirits. Isn't that what he's saying? Well, we all know how to chew physical food, natural food, don't we? Put it in your mouth, chew it up. How do you chew spiritual food?
Meditation.
Meditation. Meditation. Meditating on the Word of God. Hallelujah. No wonder some folks in every faith comes here and hear by the Word of God. They've never chewed up anything spiritually. Oh, yeah, they're eating all the time naturally. Like F.F. Bosworth said, I repeat it, quote him again. So many Christians wonder why they're so weak in faith. They'll feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day and their spirit 1 cold snack a week. Amen. I never have been able to understand it for my life. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Maybe I'm different than everybody else. I don't think I am. I'm just as human as the next fella. People seeking healing. And they'll feed on everything else in the world except what's going to bring them healing. Amen. I remember when I was on the bed of sickness, and I was just a Baptist boy, knew nothing about full gospel, knew nothing about the Baptist Holy Ghost, knew nothing about speaking with tongues. Just as foreign to me as Mars would be. But I knew I was born again, knew I was a child of God, had enough sense to know that if I can't be healed any other way except by divine power, because the medical science said nothing can be done. You have to die. I knew if there's any help for me, it had to be in that book. And my heart told me. You say, how did your heart tell you? An inward intuition. An inward conviction. Something on the inside of me. My heart, my spirit told me it's all in there. It's in that book. That's where your help is. It's in that book. If it's in that book, then that's the book I'm going to get in. If that's where my help is, then it's not in reading Western stories. So I just got in the book. And I stayed in the book. I slept with the book in my hands. I slept with it pressed to my bosom. Didn't understand it, but I knew it was in there. Well, the family, bless their hearts. Some of them were Christians, babies, of course. Of course, they'd been religiously brainwashed to the New Testament taught. They was afraid, you know, you're going to lose your mind over the Bible. Doctors made, I'm talking about 1934. Doctors made house calls in those days. One day, you know, the doctor stopped by the house. He didn't have me fooled. By the Word being in you, said David was wiser than all of his teachers. No, it wasn't me. The Word of God did it. He didn't have me fooled a bit in the world. He said he was down there, and he did have other patients, and he probably did visit the other patients. But I knew they didn't have any food. I know exactly. They got him to come by because they were so concerned. They was afraid I'm going to lose my mind over the Bible. They didn't know, praise God, I was going to get healed over it. Or they'd have been thrilled about it. But they didn't understand that. So, of course, there I am with my Bible. When I couldn't read it, I pressed it to my bosom, but I'd been bedfast about a year. Then I could read just about all I wanted to. There I was, middle of the afternoon, with my Bible open on the bed. And he checked me over a little bit and said, well, I haven't seen you in quite a while. And I was out here visiting another patient. Just thought I'd stop by and check up on you. Talk for a little bit. And then he pointed to the Bible and said, you read that much? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you ever read anything else? No, I said, I don't have time. Now, I know that sounds nutty, doesn't it? Fell a bed fast 24 hours a day, nothing else to do. Don't have time to read. You ever read any Western story? Now, I don't mean it's not right to read a Western story. I like a Western story. I don't know, remember reading one the last 20 years, but you know, if I had time, I might, you know, because, you know, I mean, pretty good, pretty not too bad. I like detective stories. I can't remember reading one about, maybe 20 years, but, you know, I mean, he said, you ever read any Western stories? I said, no, sir, don't have time. You ever read any novels? I said, no, sir, don't have time. In those days, you know, we call what they call the comic section of the paper today, we call it the funny paper. See, that dates you. Oh, boy, you know. Anyway, some of you start grinning, I've got you dated now. We called it the funny paper, you see. You ever read the funny paper? I said, no, sir, don't have time. You ever read the paper? I said, no, sir, don't have time. Oh, I said, once in a while, Grandpa's sitting there in the room reading the paper, I might glance at the headlines, you know, but I said, I don't have time. Now, isn't that stupid from the natural standpoint? Bad fast, 24-hour day, nothing else to do. No television in those days. It did have radio, but I didn't listen to it. On Sunday, there was some broadcasting. Early in the morning, there was some religious broadcasts. I did listen to them, but I didn't listen to other junk. I don't get anything else in me. I don't want to get anything else in me. I want to get the Word in me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I don't have time. Well, it's all right, he said, to read the Bible. But he said, you just read one thing all the time, you become fanatical. Now, he said, Dr. Robertson said, when I was in medical school, my roommate, see, we were roommates in medical school, in college, roommates, you see. And he specialized in the disease called pellagra. And he read everything he could on that subject, day and night, just on the subject of pellagra, until he lost his mind over pellagra. Dr. Robertson was sandy haired, almost redheaded, sandy haired and freckled, you know. He said, he see these spots here on me. He said, you got the pellagra. He lost his mind. He's in the asylum today. He's been in the asylum for years. He's a medical student, ready to go out and practice. But he just studied that one subject, you see. See what he's trying to tell me? Well, it's a vast difference, my brother and sister, studying on one subject of pellagra or studying the Word of God. Amen. If I lost my mind, I'm sure glad I did. I've been healthy ever since. Amen. 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 I've been healthy ever since. Before I lost my mind, I was almost totally paralyzed. 16 months bedfast. Before I lost my mind, I had incurable blood disease. I don't know, leukemia or something. The doctor said it was incurable. This incurable blood disease alone would prove to be fatal to you. Nothing we can do about it. But as soon as I lost my mind, I got rid of it. Hallelujah. Amen. The deformed heart, as soon as I lost my mind, it straightened out and got to working all right. Boy, I like it this way. I made it so much better with my mind lost than I did with it. No, I didn't lose my mind. I found it. Amen. Glory to God. My words, they're spirit and they're life. Well, how do you chew this spiritual food? We know how we chew our natural food, by meditation. Let me say it again. By meditation. David found that meditation chews our spiritual food and gets the sweetness and the nutritive value of the Word into our hearts and lives. Remember what he said? We read some of those statements that David said relative to the Word. And you notice, I'm going to turn back there and read some of them again. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, you can find all these statements in the 119th Psalm. Now, notice this. It, thy word, O Lord, how I love thy law. In other words, how I love thy word. It is my meditation all the day. Hallelujah. I'm chewing on it all day. See? How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It is the word of God, which Paul said, effectually works in us. David said, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I keep thy word, in other words. By observing in his heart and life the precepts of the Lord, David, early in life, understood more than those whose lives in earlier times learned in a whole lifetime of experience. David, who started life only as a shepherd boy, by meditating in and practicing divine precepts, obtained such wisdom and knowledge that he was spoken of in 2 Samuel 14:17 as an angel of God in judging right and wrong. In the same chapter, that 14th chapter of 2 Samuel, a little later on down, it says, his wisdom is compared to the wisdom of an angel. He said, David said, thy word hath quickened me. Hallelujah. F.F. Bosworth used to say, every morning when I first wake up, I say, quicken thou me, O Lord, according to thy word. Remember the last time I saw him, he was 77. You'd think he's probably 55. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken thou me according to thy word. David said, thy word hath quickened me. Quickened means made alive. Glory to God. Full alive. Hallelujah to Jesus. David said, thy word hath quickened me. It quickened his whole being to the extent that God's word was fulfilled in him. His life was filled with praise and thanksgiving. I rejoice at thy word. Now, how much better it is. Now, notice that. Let's go back to our original text here in conclusion. That's the third chapter here of 1 Corinthians. King James says, ye are God's husbandry. Like I said, Moffat's translation said, you are God's field. Another translation said, you're God's garden. How much better to be the Lord's garden than the devil's garden? The possibilities of the imperishable seed are infinite, my friends. Ye are God's garden. Hallelujah to Jesus. Nothing can be so beneficial. Amen. Whose garden are you? What kind of fruit's growing in your garden? What's the seed that's being sown there? Now, I have utmost sympathy for those that believe otherwise, but I'm not going to argue and fuss about it. So many people, you know, take issue about me preaching that healing belongs to all of us. I believe it does. I believe himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. I've sowed that kind of seed into my own heart and watered it through the years. I haven't had a headache in years. I believe it's too late to start having headaches now. Well, yeah, but you're just an exception. I had one full gospel preacher to tell me. Well, you've just got a strong constitution. Well, I didn't have a strong constitution. I was sickly. And never ran and played like other children for the first 15 years of my life. And became totally bedfast. Where did I get that strong constitution? Bless God out of the Word. Hallelujah to Jesus. By planting the seed, by becoming God's garden. Now in their own lives, I know my friends, God bless their hearts. You know, you weep about it. Actually, literally on the inside weep, but actually literally on the outside weep. Friend of mine said, he is here at our camp meeting, been here at our camp meeting every year for the last several years. Minister of the gospel. Another friend, a mutual friend of the two, said, I tried to get him to come. I told him what all is happening here. I'm not a-going. I've heard all them tales, Kenneth tales, for years. And the poor fellow's sick. Sickly. Been through all kind of misery. But them tales I'm telling worked pretty good for me. I've stayed well. Well, bless his heart. You want to help him. You'd be glad to help him if you could, you see. But he don't want to listen. Oh, yeah. If you asked him, he'd say, yeah, I love Kenneth. I've known him ever since we was boys together. Little kids, we played together. Little kid. Yeah, I love him. I just don't agree with him. No, he's a good fellow, all right. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've been around him. I've watched him. He hadn't been sick in all these years. I know that, all right. But I just don't agree with him. That's just not the will of God for everybody, though. Now, it's the will of God maybe for him because he stayed well and prospered, but it's not the will of God for me to be well because I've been sick all these years, and it's not the will of God for me to prosper. Well, now you see, the difference is not that God honors me more than he does him or loves me more than he does him or that God just saw fit to do something for me and not for him. It's just the matter that I sowed different seed and watered different seed. Can you see that? And that he let the same seed was sown, really, because I sowed it in him. But he didn't water it. And thorns and different things grew up and choked it out. The seed is the Word of God. We read that. Mark said the seed is the Word. We read that. Luke, talking about the same thing. Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. Well, now, what's involved in this seed, which is the Word of God, then, is that just, as some people would tell us, that's just forgiveness of sins, though. Nothing beyond that. Well, I think immediately of what the Scripture said, he sent his Word and healed them. The seed was the Word. The seed is a saving Word, but the seed is a healing Word. Isn't it? He sent his Word and healed them. Hallelujah. Did you notice he didn't say he sent his word to heal them? You might put it off future if he said it. But he said, and healed, present tense. Now, glory, 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 glory. So what are we going to do? Now, believe, take what he offers. What is that word he sent? Now, the 107th Psalm. It's where that's written. He sent his word and healed him. About 17th verse. He sent his 20th verse. Read 17 through 20. And the 20th verse he sums up by saying, he sent his word and healed him. Well, the word in the Old Testament that he sent and healed him was spoken through the prophet. But the word in the New Testament that he said and he sent and healed him is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The living word. The living word. The living word. He sent his word and healed them. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And this written Word, this New Testament, this New Covenant, this written Word unveils and reveals the living Word to me. And this New Testament tells me Jesus Christ. Or, remembering that Jesus Christ is the Word. Then the Word is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Woo, glory. I don't know whether I've helped you or not. But I've done it again. Boy, there's something on the inside of me turning handsprings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. He's already done that. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. By whose stripes you, his stripes, you were healed. So he offers you healing. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now. You need healing? Receive now. If you don't need healing, take health. Glory to God. Take health. Take health. Take it now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now lift your hand now and say, I take my healing.
I take my
health.
I have my healing.
I have my health. Because I've taken my healing. I've taken my health. It is mine now. I have it now. Hallelujah. I rejoice at thy word.
As David said,
as one who has found a great spoil. Or a great treasure. So I rejoice at thy word. I rejoice at thy healing word.
Now put both your hands up and start praising him right now.
Oh, glory, 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 glory.